Welcome to Mom's Going Boldly, a Star Trek podcast.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Mom's Going Boldly is two moms who love Star Trek and who happen to have children on the autism spectrum. Join me, Elizabeth, and my co-host Vicky as each week we talk about Star Trek episodes, both new and old. Are you ready for the adventure? Come join us on Mom's Going Boldly. Welcome back to Mom's Going Boldly. Today we're talking about Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Episode 3, Janal. What did you think about this episode?
They're on a pretty good run. I mean, it's only been two episodes that I like so far, but they're on a pretty good run.
This one best so far of the season. There were a couple of moments that were a little cringy.
I do have to say, the way Wilson Cruz was playing Janal, it was kind of giving me Curzon Odo vibes, which I have to imagine was purposeful. So we would think there was a chance that he wasn't going to give Culber his body back. But, you know, later on, it was clear that it wasn't. But up until they found out he was testing them, that's what I thought was going to happen. And then there was this half-life that everybody was mentioning. At least three different people mentioned half-life. So I don't know if that's a name of an episode from another Trek that I'm not remembering because I don't remember an episode names, but I have a feeling it's supposed to mean something somewhere down the road, unless I missed something in this episode and the meaning was there.
Yeah, we'll have to pay attention to that.
They must be working on a limited budget because we're three episodes in and we still haven't seen Detmer or Owo, but they did make a point of mentioning them a couple of times, so we know they're still there somewhere.
I thought we saw them in the first episode.
I don't think we did. Did we?
I noticed that to this time. I agree with you. I was like, what's going on? Why don't you just have them sitting in their chairs? Yeah.
Right. Maybe we did, and I just don't remember. But it just seemed like it was sort of a budget thing that they didn't want to pay him because there's nothing for them to do.
Well, let me read the summary from the Memory Alpha fandom wiki for this episode, Janal. On Trill, Burnham, Booker, and Culber must pass a dangerous test to prove themselves worthy of the next clue. Adira reconnects with Gray, and Saru's first day as ambassador is complicated by his engagement to Tarina. Drama, drama, drama.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's not in this summary is also Rayner's first day as first officer.
Right.
Which I think was one of the most interesting elements of this story.
Right.
Oh, and we got to see Reno again, which I was real excited about. She needs more lines.
She does. I have to imagine they're going to give her something before the end of the series.
So let's talk about what's going on Trill. On Trill, we've got Burnham, Booker, and Culber doing the clue piece, and we've got Adira reconnecting with Gray. So let's talk first about the clue piece. In order to get the clue, they have to allow a Jintara so that Janal's memories will be passed on to somebody, and Culber volunteers. And I agree with you 100%. The beginning of that personality emerging from Culber appeared to be like that something bad was going to happen. And they sort of set it up that way by saying, oh, it could be, you know, emotionally difficult for this to happen. Like Culber was going to be traumatized by the experience.
Yes.
But that was kind of cheap.
Yes. And from the montage at the end, I have more to say about the montage, but it made it seem like Hugh is going to have some kind of a revelation or some sort of difficulty, or maybe even some hidden issues from the past, because he was a mess for a while after he came back from then. I can't remember the name of it, but I'm going to call it the Spore Land. So that was my first thought when he volunteered, is that this is going to do something terrible to him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then, of course, it didn't happen. And what was really going on was that he was being cagey because the power of the progenitor's device is so enormous that he has to make sure that whoever gets the next clue is worthy. I cringed when they said the word worthy. So anyway, that's what it's about. And he's actually a good guy, just being very, very careful.
Yes, but I still think Culber is going to have some repercussions moving forward.
Maybe he and Culber had some chatting while Booker and Burnham were fighting the invisible.
Right. It was just from the montage at the end when he's staring into space or whatever he's staring into. Because, you know, when he came back from, what the heck was it?
Let's just call it the Spore world. I think that works.
When he came back from the Spore world, he was a mess for a long time.
Yeah.
You don't just fix that quickly.
Yeah.
You know, he could pretend to be all good, but I don't think he is. That was my very first thought. You know, when he volunteered to do that and he said his emotions are his thing or whatever he said, I can't remember.
Emotionally overwhelming is what I do best.
Exactly.
I found the quote.
Yes. And I was like, oh no, 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 no. Something terrible is going to happen to him down the road.
Yeah.
This is going to bring up something he hasn't dealt with or new issues or something.
Oh, look, angst. So speaking of angst, let's talk about Adira and Gray. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You know, I like
So
Gray.
In short, I do too, but they broke up.
Well, we knew that was happening because Adira said in the last episode or the episode before that they miss Gray, but they feel relief that they're doing things on their own.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I found the whole breakup scene incredibly awkward. And once again, it felt so forced.
For two people who were actually connected, I agree.
Yeah. It felt, again, like the scene when Burnham and Book were talking to each other after they started an avalanche that nearly killed a whole village and the renegades escaped. And then they stopped to talk about their feelings. It was the same kind of awkward, sort of like, wow, it didn't feel organic. It didn't feel like it was something that came naturally to the characters. It felt like, okay, we have to have them break up. So write the breakup scene.
Right.
Through the breakup scene. Okay, done. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, I don't know, do you want to talk about Saru and Trina first? Or do you want to talk about Rainer next?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think the clue hunt was actually interesting. And I liked the test of whether they would actually kill the invisible cockroaches or not.
Right.
Cockroaches? Crickets? Let's call them crickets instead. The invisible crickets. The invisible barb shooting crickets. I like the fact that this was a test to see if they would kill the creatures that were menacing them or figure out what their motivation was and try to connect with them. And I thought that was really well done. And it was nice to see actually using Book's skills again, right? He comes with these natural connecting with the natural world skills that hardly ever get used.
Right.
So it was nice to see that again. And I thought that was actually really very interesting. Once we got past the whole, is, you know, Janal going to be dangerous or not from the Jintara? I thought that part was really an enjoyable part of the story. I would say actually everything was enjoyable except for the Gray and Adira segment, which again, just did not feel organic. It felt very forced. It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. I was really glad when it was over.
It was very awkward.
Yeah. So let's talk about Saru and Trina, because I think that one is very small, sort of in its own universe and easy to talk about. We are seeing some of, and at first I was uncomfortable with it because I thought it was leading in a different direction. Trina wants to do an announcement of their engagement. Saru is ready for that. And then Trina's assistant was like, oh no, we should wait. And all of a sudden you're seeing sort of the messy politics of it.
Yes. It gave me Enterprise vibes.
Okay.
You know, is this going to cause a situation with the Vulcans, with the purists?
Yeah.
That's what it gave me. Yes.
I get the feeling that we're going to discover that her assistant is a purist.
Yes.
That's sort of what I got. Duvin is his name. But I really loved how they resolved it. Duvin said to Saru, oh, you shouldn't do the announcement because it'll trigger the purists and it'll be bad for her career. And instead of going to his soon-to-be spouse and saying, this is what your assistant said to me, what should we do? He followed the advice of her assistant rather than talking to her, which of course was his mistake.
Yes, I loved that.
And then I thought it was wonderful. They dealt with it like adults,
right?
Like mature people. And it was so wonderful to see. She's like, Duvin told you to say that, didn't he? I don't need your help. I don't need your protection. And I have to go now. Excuse me. And so then he gets a chance to think about it. And then he comes back and says, you're absolutely right. You didn't ask me to do this. And this isn't the kind of relationship we want. And I apologize. And she said, it is forgiven. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. And then she explained to him, I need to make an announcement because, yeah, it's going to upset the purists no matter when it happens. And if I don't tell my constituents right now, they're going to think I'm hiding things from them.
Right.
So this is the most logical things to do. He needs to trust her logic, which is just really fabulous. I thought the whole scene was really, really good. I thought it was going to be all angsty at first because, oh, you can't announce this and oh, la, 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 la. But instead it was a beautiful example of mature adults talking to each other.
Yeah. And I don't know if you ever watched Friends, but it kind of reminded me because he was so upset about it that it felt like he thought their relationship was over because they had one argument or this big argument. And it reminded me of Friends when Chandler and Monica had a fight and Chandler thought their relationship was over. And she says, you know, people argue all the time. It doesn't mean the relationship is over. And he's like, oh. And then he says, oh, like he's realizing that his whole life he walked away from relationships because he thought they were over.
There's a similar scene in Deep Space Nine after Odo and Nerys yes. get together.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good. And I liked how Trina said, people in relationships, there's conflict. It happens. Right. So, and hers is very mellow and just sort of reassuring. And I really love that.
Yes.
So I'm enjoying that relationship. I'm hoping it doesn't get too caught up in political angsty stuff yeah. because that needs to be sort of almost like a palate cleanser for the rest of the storylines. Right?
Right. We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Doug Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good.
Doug here from the 13th Warehouse. If you are a fan of Eureka,
please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka at EurekaRewatch.com. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13,
please join Kim and Vicky over at the 13th Warehouse at the 13thWarehouse.com. You can also listen
on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Visit us on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse.
Attention, Warehouse fans. Kim and Vicky continue on with the Warehouse theme on the 13th Warehouse with Friday the 13th, the 1988 television series. Follow Mickey, Ryan, and Jack as they hunt for cursed antiques sold by Uncle Lewis to unsuspecting and sometimes suspecting patrons of his antique shop. So stick with us on the 13th Warehouse for Friday the 13th, the series. You can listen to the 13th Warehouse on our website, the13thwarehouse.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Oh, so let's talk about Raynor. Raynor comes on board as first officer after being the captain of the Antares, I believe was the name of his ship. And then he was demoted, and now he's first officer taking Saru's place. And Burnham says to him, I want you to spend time getting to know the crew and connecting with them. And he argues with her about this, and she says, yeah, you're going to do it anyway. And then Tilly comes in and says, I'm here to take you on a tour so you can connect with the crew. And he's like, bring him in here. I'm busy. And so, yeah, you can see where his arc is going to be, but you can also see where he's actually going to be bringing his own. He's going to learn things, but he's also going to be teaching things.
Absolutely.
And so you can, yes. Yeah, and I love that. He's going to bring two things to the table with his arc. One is, yeah, I'm going to learn the value of what you're doing, but you're also going to learn the value about what I'm doing. And yes. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. He has all these people come in, and they've got 20 words to tell him something that he wouldn't be able to read in their file. And you learn some interesting things about people, but as Tilly very aptly points out later, he's not connecting with them. He's learning things, but it's not connection. And Tilly
uses 20 words.
She uses 20 words to let him know what she thinks, because he continues to do this and he's not learning the lesson that Burnham wanted him to learn. And so she just sort of lets him have it. And it's hilarious.
It is.
And it's terrific. And you can see him learning to respect all of the people on his ship for what they are interested in and what their values are, but he still doesn't really connect with them. And right. you can see him developing respect for her. And then she actually says to him, she talks to him about respect. It goes both ways. It's a good moment. And I think that was probably some of the best written stuff that they had in this episode, because it was thoughtful about the characters.
Yeah, I think that was one of my favorite parts.
The other piece of it that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, we've talked about this before, about how this is a series that really focuses on Burnham. And mm-hmm. everybody else takes a backseat, and it's not really an ensemble story the way Strange New Worlds is. But this episode, we got to see some ensemble stuff that was really good. And that was nice. I like that.
Yeah.
So any other thoughts about Janal?
Just a couple of little things. Going back to Reno and Stamets.
Oh, yeah.
Was the Space Dad reference a Will Wheaton reference? You know, he always refers to Gates McFadden and Jonathan Frakes as his space mom and dad, because he considers yeah. them his family. So I was wondering if that was a reference.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, because I'm always looking for things. But also in the montage, back to the montage.
Oh, yes, the montage.
Book obsessing over someone who's technically not his family. And I know he feels some responsibility for her. And he's possibly in his mind looking for his own family since he has none. But I think, and this is my opinion only, that in the end, he's going to realize that he already has a family.
Yeah.
I think that's where his arc is going. You know, I can understand why he's obsessing over her, but she isn't his family.
Right.
She's his mentor's daughter. you know, and I could understand because he has his mentor's name, like, you know, Dread Pirate Roberts, but he's not related to her, but he's found something to obsess about because it's, as he said, it's the closest thing to family he has.
Right. And maybe he'll be satisfied if he can save her because he wasn't able to save his family. So maybe it will be, you know, enough for him to save her, and that will resolve whatever his issues are. I will say one thing about the montage, unless you have anything else you want to say about the book.
No, that was it.
One thing about the montage is, once again, the Culber piece and the dialogue that he had with Burnham afterwards, that felt forced again. It didn't feel organic. It felt like, oh, we're creating a problem here about faith that didn't seem to come from anywhere. Because his experience with Janal did not appear to be traumatic.
Right.
Now, maybe they had some kind of conversation that we don't know about.
And that could be. And that made me think even more so that he's going to have some issue because of that little conversation they had.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Like you said, that's probably the reason for the conversation, is that something's coming. Now, if you recall, remember last season they went to Trill, how difficult it was to get on to Trill.
Yes.
And now in this season, they wouldn't let them come down unless they answered a question.
Right. Well,
how did, what's her name, Mal?
How did she get down there?
Yeah.
Yeah. She must have somehow done something or bribed somebody, maybe.
I don't know. Seems like it's very difficult to get on to Trill.
Yeah.
And then whatever she put on.
Oh, I'm sure it was a tracker.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's a tracker, and I'm wondering if they're going to think that she's giving away secrets when it's not her. It's, I don't know. That's going to be a whole big thing. Or if it's just a tracker and that's all there is to it.
Please, no angst. All I ask. Oh, man. All right. Any other thoughts on Janal?
Not on Janal, but in other Star Trek news, they're canceling Lower Decks. They've canceled Prodigy.
Okay.
Picard is gone.
Yep.
This is Discovery's last season.
Yep.
I feel like they're wiping out Star Trek.
Well, we still have Strange New Worlds.
Right, for two seasons. Season 3 hasn't aired and they're picked up for season 4.
Okay. If I had to guess, because there's been a lot of sort of rumbling about starting up the movies again. So maybe that's where they're going to put the money.
Maybe. I don't really need to see a Section 31 movie. That's my opinion.
I wouldn't mind a Section 31 movie. I like Michelle Yeoh. It would be great to see Ash again, if they bring him back.
If they were to bring back the cast. Yes, Ash, and depending on what timeline they're in, I have to imagine they're in the same timeline as Strange New World, so there could be some crossover there.
And they were talking about doing some more of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek universe.
They were, and then it just faded away.
But sometimes it fades away because people have been embargoed from talking about it because they're signing contracts.
Because when they first announced it, none of the cast even heard that they were going to do.
Yeah.
So that was kind of strange.
And maybe they feel like they've done a run for it for a while. I mean, it's, you know, Star Trek has been coming and going for over 50 years now. So I'm not going to stress about it too much. It is a delicious cash cow for Paramount. I don't think they're going to
That's the question. Is it? Is it? Do we know that it's making money? Is that why they're getting rid of all the shows? You know, I don't know. I mean, Picard, I have to imagine Picard was made to only go 2 or 3 seasons. It wasn't going to go any further. You know, I think we knew that going in.
Well, I have hope. I think it's all going to be okay.
Well, I'm not, my life isn't going to be over, but you know.
No, I know. It just seems like I think there will be more Star Trek to talk about. I think so. Well, we will definitely keep our ears open about that. I will keep my ears open as well, though you are much more in tune with all things Star Trek and Star Trek news than I am. But we'll definitely keep our ears open about what's going on with that.
All right.
Well, we invite our listeners to join us next time as we talk about Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Episode 4, Face the Strange. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
You can continue exploring the universe with Moms Going Boldly by following us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsgoingboldly and on Twitter at momsgoingboldly. The music used on Moms Going Boldly is Without Limits by Ross Bugden Music. On Twitter at Ross Bugden, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License, creativecommons.org.
You can listen to Moms Going Boldly on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Player FM. And we're now also available on Apple Podcasts.
complete.